Good evening and welcome to the Astoria City Council meeting January 16th, 2018. Call to order Chief Ames.
Councilor Devil.
Here.
Councilor Price.
Here.
Councilor Jones.
Here.
Councilor Brown.
Here.
Mayor Lemire.
Here. Thank you. We have, first of all, a presentation from Recology and our new member there, Carl Peters. So if you'll state your name and your address
and Carl,
for us.
I don't, is that light on in the back of the mic? I can't see.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
okay.
It is.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. Similar. It's Saturday Night Live. Carl Peters.
Your address.
1290 Southwest Forest Glen Drive, McMinnville, Oregon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your introduction was probably half of my presentation, so this probably won't take too long. But no, seriously, Mayor, City Council, staff, thank you for the opportunity to be here today to introduce myself. Again, Carl Peters with Recology. I think as Brett had in his notes, I'm the general manager for the Northern Oregon operations for Recology, including all the compost facilities. Been in this business for 31 years now, and 19 of those with Recology, four of them up here in beautiful Oregon. And I can honestly tell you, when I moved to Oregon, I actually looked around and said, holy cow, I'm home. And I couldn't be happier. And met a wonderful woman, got married up here for the second time, got it right. So I'm very happy. I actually asked her to come today so I could prove to people I was married, but she stayed home instead in our new home that we just bought. I take a lot of pride in what I do, and I feel so privileged to be with this company. I feel so privileged to be here and have the opportunity to work with the city, to follow up on the things that Fred has done, and to assure you if there's things that we do good, we'll try to do them better. If there are things we're not doing so well, we'll make sure we do them even better and do them well, and then work on making them great if that's possible. If you don't know about Recology, we're an employee-owned company. And I think that's a big difference for us. You know, it drives our pride. It drives us to want to differentiate ourselves and be different. You know, I found out the other day doing some work for an RFP we were working on in Portland that over 60% of our company's stock, employee-owned stock, is owned by minorities and women. And I think it's those kind of things that really set the tone for how our company operates. And that's something that, you know, when I heard that, I was like, I'm really, really proud of that. I didn't even know that. And so again, those are the kind of things I want to make sure people know about our company. Also, too, to know that, you know, my commitment to the city should be something that, you know, people won't have to worry about. I'm going to, if there's time that needs to be spent here, my time will be here and it will be spent here. And This is such a beautiful area. I look forward to coming up here every time, and almost always we'll spend at least a night or two up here. And you've done a nice job. Brett explained to me. He goes, no, this is not a coastal community. This is a river community. So I tell that to everybody. No. It's a river community. But anyway, so the last thing I think I would leave you on as far as introduction is that one thing I truly understand is that a vibrant and a healthy Astoria leads and makes my business pretty vibrant and healthy. So I will do everything that I can to work with each of you, each of the businesses, each of your staff, anything that I can do to make a difference. Please, I hope you don't hesitate to reach out and ask. And if we can do something, we certainly will. One of the other things I wanted to do today also was introduce a new member of our staff in a new position, I should say. She's been with the company over 13 years, Rhonda Green, sitting right back over there. Rhonda's position, starting
yesterday
is our new Waste Zero Specialist for this area. And her job, you know, Recology, you know, we believe in a world without waste. And her job is to work with the community, work with the businesses, work with the schools, work with everybody to help communicate that message and to further that message and to work with businesses to try to figure out, well, how can we do things better? How can we find more outlets for things? To take part in events and, again, to do things to help promote that idea of a world without waste. And so I think you'll all see her probably more often maybe than you'll see me. And that'll probably be a good thing, actually, that you see her more often than you see me. The last thing that I wanted to do and then I can answer any question you might have, is to give you just a quick update on the new program that was rolled out last year. And I was able to get some numbers right before I left. And right now we're sitting at, let me get over to my other page, over 2,300 organics and glass customers. And that reflects about a 70% participation in the program. And right now the city is diverting 30 tons a month between the glass and the yard, the organics that are out there. So it's proving to be a pretty good program. That's actually bumped up a bit from the first time I looked at it, from the first time I came up to introduce myself to Brett. And so I think that's pretty great. I'm pretty jazzed about that. You know, the commingle, that's great. If we look at from a cart count, it's over 100%. But that's because a lot of people have more than one cart. So it makes the kind of throws off the count for us to be able to measure from a participation. But it's proving to be a great, great program.
Good.
Are there any questions for me?
Can you talk about the commingled recycling and whether or not that material is actually being recycled, or if more of it is having to be trashed due to China not purchasing it?
So, the great question, and thank you for asking about it. This is reference to what they call China's National Sort Program. And really where it came from, if you take everything at face value, China said, hey, stop. You guys are shipping way too much garbage into recycling to us, and we wanted to stop. Some additional things, China wanted to develop its own infrastructure. They wanted to recycle their own stuff before they started taking all these external commodities. And so what's happened, they've eliminated 24 different materials that most of the West Coast used to ship. And the bigger thing that everybody's fighting right now is the amount of contamination they're willing to accept. It used to be that you could ship commodities 1-5% contamination by weight. And they've dropped that now down to 0.5%. And so what that's done for most of your processors, what they have to do is they have to put more people up on the line to pull out contaminants. They have to slow the speed of the belt down so the people have more time to pull the contaminants. And all that leads to lots of additional costs. So what's happened in some places, then the truth is that in a lot of places, in Portland right now, it's actually cheaper for me to throw recycling away than to recycle. But we don't do that. That is something that, as a company, we are a resource recovery company. We are not a landfill company. There's no sense in us to want to do that. And we think that the 30 years that communities have put in and to educate and get these processes into place to recycle, just because it's become inconvenient and because there's now maybe a cost associated, is not a good enough reason to start throwing it away. Down in Southern Oregon, sure, some people are approaching DEQ saying we'd like to throw it away. We're not doing that. And we're not throwing anything away. We still have outlets for material. And I don't see a time now or even in the near future where I'll come up in front of you and say, we got to throw it away. Now, there are some things, some plastics that are just not recyclable, but we're still working on finding outlets. We've found some outlets already for it. But right now, nothing from Astoria, none of our customers that were serviced here in Oregon is getting thrown away.
Okay. Thank you. And I'm wondering if you have any goals as far as the number of organics and glass that's being recovered right now in Astoria. It's 30 tons a month right now, you say. Do you have any goals? And if so, how can we get there? How can education and outreach help increase that rate?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we want to be able to do, and the value of having somebody up here that can become more focused and work for the city, is honestly to find out why all happened those 30% of people signed up. I get it, you know, one of the things Rhonda said, yeah, a lot of people, especially if they live close to the transfer station, they take some of the recycling over there themselves, and they just say, hey, you know, it's easier, I want to do it myself. So there's a component of that, too. I don't think it's reasonable to expect 100% people to participate, but, you know, I think we just can keep doing better. So our goal is just to, again, continue to educate, get more information out there about the value of the program, and see if we can't just be showing up, you know, in a couple of months saying it's continued to improve. I think if we can get up to 80%, I'd be pretty pleased.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that it's possible to come up with a smaller container option? I've heard wonderful feedback about the program, and I'm really proud that Astoria is so progressive to have it. But I've also observed, trouble with the large containers, and I realize that was probably a very big investment on your part. But is there an option for smaller sizes?
You know, I hadn't heard that, and so honestly, rather than take a guess and answer, I'll come back and make sure that I have a good answer for that. I would like to think that there's a way to do that. Mm-hmm. I got to imagine, and I wasn't here for the planning of it. I know that if I was rolling out a program, and I've actually rolled out very similar programs, you go with the bigger container because it's not served more often. You want to make sure that people don't get to a point, which happens a lot of places, they fill up their recycling and go, oh, and they just start throwing it away. And so we try to make that the last thing that people want to do. I don't disagree with you, and it's something I'll look into. I took delivery of my recycling carts. Dang, that thing's big. And my wife walked up, she was like, oh! And she goes, is that the trash? I'm like, no, that's recycling. So I get that, and I can appreciate it. So I'll look into that. It is about inventory and costs. I'm sure that's where it came from. You know, the fewer sizes you have to carry in inventory, the better you can control costs. And that was probably very important to try to make it a very effective and cost-effective program for everybody.
Thank you.
So I will look into that and get back to you, or get back to Brad and let him know.
Yeah, thank you and welcome.
Thank you.
A couple things, and thanks, Councilor Nimmo. That hit a couple of points that I was concerned about, too. One other that I've been curious about is that we have, there's a plan for hazardous waste disposal here locally, and I was curious where you were at with that, because it's really such a huge need for that.
You know, I understand that fees have been collected, money's been set aside, but I'm not too clear where it actually sits at right
now. So household hazardous waste is actually coordinated through Clatsop County.
Okay.
And I was at a meeting with the county manager today, and he said that they anticipate on breaking ground on the household hazardous waste facility, which will be adjacent to the Recology transfer station. But that project is being built, that building itself is being built and will be managed by the county.
Okay, well, good.
And what he said.
Right. And of course that affects the story greatly. You know, we're talking about our sewer system and you know, our Public Works is trying to eliminate things going down the drain that don't belong there. It can be pharmaceuticals, but there's a lot of like solvents and who knows what goes down the drains and gets into our treatment systems. And this would go a long way to help.
I couldn't agree with you more. And we work really diligently at that transfer station to make sure, because, you know, a lot of stuff comes through there. And I actually brought my environmental folks up to meet with Public Works. Okay. Because I thought, hey, man, you guys should know, because we're constantly testing that water to make sure that we're doing a good, competent job of managing our end of it. But you're absolutely correct. There needs to be an outlet for that material.
Right.
And the longer people hold on to it, the more likely it's going to end up in a garbage can and somewhere where it shouldn't be.
Right. And along the lines of hazardous material, of course, you know that there were new laws that were implemented for construction materials with the potential of asbestos. And dealing with them, and that rolled out, and that locally, our contractors were suddenly showing up at the yard saying, you can't come here, you need to test or go to Hillsborough. And I was wondering, is there any intent, any plans on our transfer station being able to handle those materials somewhere down the line so our local contractors don't have to be hauling all the way up to Hillsborough?
Not likely.
Okay.
Not likely. Handling asbestos and trying to discern asbestos is better off remediated before it ever leaves a home. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of the position that DEQ's taken.
Okay.
That, you know, before you knock a wall down, you better know what it is. And it's difficult because a lot of times people say, well, and I think they've tried to stab at a year. I forget what the year is off the top of my head, but like if it's a construction after 2009, hey, you probably don't have to do any testing. But they also built a building up in Seattle after 2009, and when they did asbestos testing, it was full of asbestos. Right. Because they bought the material from overseas somewhere and it was made with asbestos. They brought it to the U.S. and built it. It's usually better off remediated before it gets out into the public purview and to a tipping floor where somebody's handling it. There's a lot that goes into permitting and saying, hey, I want to handle asbestos.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
I wish I had a better answer to that.
Well, it's a tough one.
And,
And testing is probably, it's part of the solution that if testing is easy for the homeowner or for the contractor to quickly have testing done quickly and efficiently so they know what they're getting into.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of these contractors do have the information they need about the bolts they need to work with. You know, I can speak from experience in Portland where you have a facility that gets 500 vehicles a day. It can get pretty chaotic. I definitely empathize with the contractors, and hopefully there's enough adequate resources up here for testing folks to help them and be able to manage that stuff properly. But until then, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have to follow the rules that our permits
sure.
guide us by, which is go away, can't bring it in.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, we have reports of councilors. Councilor Nimmowell.
None from me, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay, Councilor Brownson.
Yeah, none from me. If there were even a larger audience, I would encourage you to all vote. I don't care whether it's yes or no. Vote.
Councilor Price.
Nothing, thank you.
Councilor, yes.
The hard name, Jim. Good evening, Mayor. How are you? I wanted to just thank Chief Ames and his staff and Chief Spaulding and his staff for their continued work to solve the problem with the fires on 38th Street. And I had a conversation with Mr. Crockett and Ms. Anamba, who had the home that was first in the paper with the fire today. And of course, their neighbors are all very concerned, and some people can't sleep at night knowing there's potentially someone out there starting fires. Again, just thanks for the work with the county and state arson investigators. And Ms. Anamba did express to me that there's neighbors up there who are interested in starting a neighborhood watch group. And I told her I would speak with you after the meeting tonight and get information to them. So thank you.
Okay, and I have no report tonight. Changes to the agenda?
We had one request, and this will come on item 6, from George McCartney to remove item 6D, the Community Development Department update, from the consent agenda.
Okay, the items on the consent calendar are handled with one motion unless someone asks for something to be removed. So could I have a motion to approve items 6A, B, C, E, and F?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, roll call. Chief Spaulding?
Aye.
Aye.
Councilor Price?
Aye.
Councilor Jones?
Aye.
Mayor Lanier?
Aye. Thank you. Okay, Mr. McCartan, would you like to come up and tell us your concern?
Good evening, Your Honor, and Mr. President, members of the council. This particular item is among the many that our city manager is dealing with the city manager hat and the community development hat at the same time, and doing very well at it. This particular item within his report concerned me. It says that the Planning Commission is trying to develop amendments to the development code to deal with what they're calling the emergency warming centers. This has been a very controversial item in the past year, and although we were, I think, going 3 or 4 years without too much trouble, this year, it was demanded that the group who are sponsoring the Warming Center seek a conditional use permit, even though there was no real provisions within our present development code for this. They were able to twist and turn and fit it in there and make it work. Now I see that they're going to make sure that nobody raises objection to it by putting specific amendments, apparently, and that's fine. What's of concern, especially with respect to that process, is that it says a draft code language is being prepared by a planning commissioner, and then it'll be formally reviewed by the commission and go through the process of amending the code. In the interest of the people of Astoria having full disclosure and transparency in what is happening in their governing bodies, it seems that we ought to have at least the name of the planning commissioner who is taking the initiative here to draft the new amendments. We don't have that. And furthermore, I think we ought to have online, and maybe it's there, I didn't do a very good search.
So Mr. McCartan, real quick, there was actually an article in the paper about this right after it had happened. It's City Planning Commissioner Daryl Moore. He, upon his own volition, prepared a draft, presented it to his fellow planning commissioners, to which the Planning Commission then voted to initiate the amendment process to start this review. And so there are Planning Commission minutes that we can get you that have all the details, and we can provide you with a copy of what Mr. Moore had prepared. As I said, that this is, it is a bit, it's not common that a planning commissioner would go forward in drafting their own code language, but in this case, Mr. Moore did. And we're going to have to start reviewing this code language to determine how it could fit within the development code, and then a planning commission work session would be held on this matter for further discussion.
It just seemed that it would be more appropriate, notwithstanding you're overloaded already, to have the development director's staff do the first draft, and not somebody simply volunteering, especially, as you mentioned now, somebody who voted against the granting even of the present.
And Mr. McCartan, the planning commissioner was not asked to prepare this. They did this on their own volition, wanting to bring this forward for for planning commission dialogue. So,
fine. Thank you very much.
But if you want to touch base with Ms. Ferber in the back of the room, George, and she can get you all that information.
Okay.
Thank you. Let's see. Could we have a motion to approve?
I move we approve item 6D of the consent calendar.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Okay, our first agenda item is an ordinance adopting certain state statutes to reflect changes made by the 2017 Oregon legislature.
And the 2017 legislation, which was passed by the legislature for the most part, became effective on January 1st of this year. Many of our ordinances refer or incorporate state statutes, and every year the city routinely readopts referenced ORS sections. The first reading of this ordinance was held at your January 2nd, 2018 council meeting. Tonight it's recommended that council conduct the second reading and adopt the proposed ordinance.
Okay. Is there any council discussion?
I move we conduct the second reading and adopt the proposed ordinance.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
I guess I need a roll call on that.
Right.
We had a motion and a second.
Just to have the reading. So you can move forward with that. So you just would need to have the reading, and then you'll need to have a vote.
Okay.
To
So, Ms. Brooks, do you have the ordinance?
Ordinance readopting certain state statutes to reflect changes made by the 2017 legislature.
Okay, and now we need a roll call vote.
Well, you need a motion to adopt the ordinance, is what you...
We need a motion to adopt the
ordinance. I move that we adopt the ordinance.
Second. Okay.
Now you need a roll call.
Now I have a roll call. Okay. Mr. Pearson.
Councilor Nemlowell.
Aye.
Councilor Brownson.
Aye.
Councilor Price.
Aye.
Councilor Jones.
Aye.
Mayor LaMere.
Aye. Thank you. Okay, that is the end of our regular agenda. So if there is there anyone out there who has anything that they would like to talk with us about? Any comments or public input? Okay. This meeting is adjourned.